If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Monday, September 12th, the Sidelined by Negative Self-Talk edition. I'm Jamila Lemieux, a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding Parenting column, and mom to Naima, who is 9, and we live in Los Angeles.
I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the homeschool and family travel blog, Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom to 3 littles, Henry, who's 10, Oliver, who's 8, and Teddy, who's 5. We live in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
I'm Zach Rosen. I host the Best Advice Show podcast. My oldest is Noah. She just turned 5. And my youngest, Ami, is about to turn 2. And we live in Detroit.
Today on the show, we have a question about a little boy who just started team sports. He was really confident going into the season, but soon spiraled into negative self-talk. Can we help him over this hump before he decides that his season is prematurely over? But first, we wanted to jump into the mailbag because we have updates. Let's start with a letter from our potty training pal who couldn't quite get her little one to stop what he was doing and go to the bathroom.
Thanks for answering my question on the podcast. I've been listening since long before I had kids, so that was a fun surprise. Your answers were very insightful. Perhaps he's a little young to be potty trained, but as you surmised, he is a very precocious 2.5-year-old. And yeah, he's going through some stuff right now. We had another baby in March, and now his beloved nanny abruptly left for family reasons. It's been stressful for all of us, and perhaps the reason we had another regression. We are now considering some kind of reward system. Maybe a sticker journal, where we write his achievements and fun events for the day and review it at night. Thanks for the suggestions. I'm glad you said that potty training is the worst, because it really hasn't been that bad. Finding a new nanny? That might actually be the worst.
Yay, I'm glad we helped someone. Maybe. Get it. Find that nanny first and have them do it.
You probably hopefully feel less bad about the fact that your 2.5-year-old is not potty trained because he is in good company.
Yes.
We also got an update from one of our more infamous letters, the husband who wanted his pregnant wife to work out more.
Hi, Mom and Dad. Thank you for your advice about my husband bugging me about working out while pregnant. I had an explicit conversation about this with him, and he agreed to back off. I also got diagnosed with SPD. Essentially, my body released the hormone relaxin too early, and my pubic bones have separated. It's painful, but not a danger to me or our baby. But it does explain a lot of my pain when it comes to walking and exercise. He apologized to me and has been super supportive ever since. One thing I should mention is my husband is neurodivergent, and he doesn't always know when to drop a subject or pick up on when he's upsetting someone. He really felt bad after we had a very clear conversation. Predictably, doing things like organizing the nursery and building some baby items really helped him focus some of his anxiety and energy about the baby coming. We're both very excited. Thank you so much for your advice. Feeling relieved and waiting for our baby.
That's a happy ending.
Happy ending for sure.
Because of explicit conversations. It's all about the explicit conversation. You gotta be explicit.
We are
That's great.
Very happy that you are feeling healthy and loved and that maybe we helped a little bit. If you've ever had one of your letters answered on the show, we love hearing updates more than anything. Give us updates. It doesn't matter how long ago the letter was. Just send us an update. All right, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we will dive into our listener question.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we're back and ready to hear today's listener question. Take it away, Sasha.
Dear Mom and Dad, our 5-year-old started team sports this year. We are encouraging him to try as many sports as he wants to see what he likes, but I've noticed an issue. Before the sport starts, he is very confident and excited, but after the first practice, he gets very down on himself and exhibits a lot of negative self-talk, including, "I'm the worst," "It'll never get better," and "I'm terrible at everything." At first, I thought he was doing this for attention, but it has continued, so I'm becoming concerned. He's not a natural athlete, but my wife and I always try to give positive feedback even when he struggles. We read children's books about positive visualization and success, but he just focuses on the negative. I'm worried this could make him predisposed to depression as he gets older. How do you teach that it's okay to struggle and failure is just a part of learning? Thanks, Starting Sports.
Zach, what say you?
I totally feel you, Starting Sports. I have been there with my kid who's a similar age, who's prone to some negative self-talk. And I wonder, if you're doing great with reading them books and stuff about positive visualization. But how do you deal with failure and struggle in front of them? Are you easy to call yourself an idiot when you do something minor? I catch myself doing that all the time. And so I've started to try to just be a lot more conscious of what I am showing. Telling is one thing, but like on a day-to-day, what does failure look like to you? And just be really aware of that. And like, if you are being nurturing to yourself when you're messing up, that's going to be good for your kid to see. And another thing is for your kid to see you, whether it's playing sports or playing games at home, just seeing you mess up, like, cultivate times at home when you can kind of very openly mess up and show them how to handle that with grace. I think that's important. And also, it's great that you're encouraging him to try as many sports as he wants, but are there things that he's like really into? And like, is he really into, you know, knitting or frog collecting or whatever? Like, are you just as encouraging with that stuff? And I'm curious, how does his self-talk sound when he's doing stuff that he like already loves compared to stuff that he might not, you know, necessarily be into? So that's just an open question.
I think that's great advice. And mm-hmm. trying to make some of that failure that Zach was talking about that is happening in your head, make it verbal for them. Like, gosh, I really, you know, screwed this up. That's okay. I've never done this before. I'm going to try mm-hmm. it again. Like, I tried to take those internal conversations and have them hear me say it in hopes that that will become their monologue. One of the best things we did when Henry started diving, he really wanted to try diving. It is a hard sport to kind of get into because when you don't know what you're doing, every time you leave the board, you are going to belly flop. We took him to a college diving meet and he watched athletes do amazing dives. And he also watched college athletes fall on their faces mm-hmm. and get out of the pool and their team greet them and hug them and their teammates still have a good laugh
were lucky at the academy that you can actually get like a sport pen pal, and his pen pal is a diver. And we went, we watched, and he literally belly flopped and got out of the pool and was laughing, and his teammates were laughing, and something in Henry's head switched, like totally just switched between, I don't have to be perfect every time. I'm just trying to get better and do something that I love. So I don't know, you can go online and watch funny failures and moments of really great athletes and just try to say, like, listen, not everyone does things great all the time. You know, I think kids tend to focus on everyone doing well. I love Zach's suggestion of finding something your kid loves. Although they're trying everything, you probably know things that he's already good at. So can you also set him up for a little success? Yeah. So have an activity that he is really good at, just naturally, or really enjoys, be that art, you know, wherever that falls. Or if there's a sport that he might be really good at, pushing him to try that, even if that's not forever, just for confidence boost might be great. I also wonder if it's a team sport situation. Like, is it happening because he sees other kids? Like, would he be better in an individual sport where it's more like, I'm just working to get better, versus like, well, hey, we're playing soccer and nobody ever kicks me the ball because I can't kick it far, or whatever, you know, might be for the sport. I drop it all the time in baseball, whatever that is. So I don't know if there's some way to kind of tweak that. And I also think it's totally okay if you're going through this, like Zach said, to try something else, like go collect, be awesome at collecting and categorizing frogs. That's totally cool too. And you can mix that up with other activities. Jamila, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with all that both of you all have said, and echoing on, you know, Elizabeth, what you did, letting your kids see people who are older and more experienced at the sport fail, you know, and struggle and make mistakes, emphasizing the fact that like learning a sport is a process and that very few people start something and they're just really great at it, you know, and they may find that certain parts of the sport come to them very easily and that they are really great at it. But the only way, you know, to get there is to keep trying, that most athletes spend years improving their game, that even the best athletes in sport lose, you know, like, I don't know if your child has watched any athletics on television. You could talk about Serena Williams, you know, who the greatest of all time, and loses, you know, in the third round of the U.S. Open, you know, that all the great basketball players have missed shots. All the great baseball players have missed whatever they do. You know, it's just you know, few athletes always have perfect games, and no athletes, you know, get to where they want to be in their sport without a lot of practice and a lot of hard work. And, you know, that's something that kids don't always want to accept when it comes to trying something new. Naima is definitely has exhibited this behavior before. Something doesn't come to her really easily, she oftentimes wants to give up on it because she feels defeated. And just emphasizing practice, practice, practice is what's going to get you to where you want to go.
Is there some way to like not, you know, some of this I think is also just the fault of where children's sports are today, that everything is like so intense. Like I often feel like the best introduction to a sport is like Sandlot style, right? Like all the neighbors and a baseball and a bat. So if you can cultivate any of that, like our neighbors have a basketball hoop that they let us come use, and anytime the kids are out there shooting, like they have a great time. But when we tried to play basketball, all of a sudden the kids were like, this is too much, like I'm not good at this, I'm not, you know. But when everybody has a ball and is just throwing it at the hoop, that they're having fun. So I think trying to find to that balance between like, can we find a way to just make this like something the family goes to do? We all go play tennis and we're just going to hit the ball and it doesn't matter, right? Like this is just going to be fun. And then when you go to play the sport, trying to just say, you know, I love watching you play out there. Like that's fun for me. You look like you're having fun, as opposed to, hey, you dropped that ball or what. I mean, I'm sure you're not, it doesn't sound like you're the type of parents that are doing that, but is there some way to just complement the like way to get out there and give it a try?
Bring back the Sandlots.
All right, starting sports, please let us know how those next few practices go. We hope our advice helped. Everyone else, have you experienced anything like this? Do you have some advice for our letter writer? Let us know by emailing momanddad@slate.com, which is also where you can send us any questions of your own.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
It's finally time for recommendations. Zach, what are you recommending for us this week?
I'm recommending a children's book called Everything Naomi Loved, written by Katie Yamasaki and Ian Lendler, and illustrated by Katie Yamasaki, who's a muralist who has started to put out children's books in the last several years. And this is such a heartbreakingly beautiful book about a neighborhood. The subtext is like the neighborhood in, it looks like Brooklyn, it doesn't say for sure, but this neighborhood is being gentrified, and this 11-year-old girl is reckoning with the loss of, you know, her best friend moving away, her neighbors moving away, the neighborhood businesses closing. So it's really like a devastating commentary on gentrification, but it's rendered so beautifully, and deals with like how we deal with loss and what role art can play in helping us create memories and remember what we had, even though like everything fades and everything changes. So it's a beautiful book. She's written some others. This is the only one that I have read. I've been meaning to check out the others, but two very enthusiastic thumbs up for Everything Naomi Loved.
Looks beautiful.
Yeah.
Nice. What about you, Elizabeth?
I'm recommending a book for adults called How to Keep House While Drowning by Casey Davis. And you can also follow Casey on TikTok at Domestic Blisters. This is a very short read. Like, she actually has it bulleted, and the front page says, like, if you only have an hour, these are the chapters to read, and just read these bullet points, which to me is like, oh, this woman gets me. But it's this wonderful book if you are starting to feel stressed about your house and keeping it tidy and keeping it clean. I really detest visual clutter, but I find that like at the end of the day, I'm tired and it just feels like a lot to make sure that everything is put back. This felt like going to therapy where someone releases you from a lot of that says sort of like this, the theme of the book is sort of, you don't work for your home should work for you. And she talks a lot about that organization is everything having a place. And so you can have a home in which things do not always get put back, but it is still organized because you could put everything back. Some of those just hit my soul. Like, yeah. Hey, it's okay. I can be released from this and I can still think of myself as a organized, clean person without the stress of that, because I am. I have, you know, released myself from clutter. She has this wonderful thing though, where she says, if you have had stuff sitting around waiting to go to Goodwill, throw it out. It's okay. Just throw it out. She says, I know that you intended to take it. It's okay. And in this phase of my life, I needed that. We are busy. I try to get the kids to clean up, but I also don't want our whole life becoming about making sure that our home, you know, looks like some picture on Instagram where, you know, all the stuff is pushed to the side. Like, that is something I need to let go of. This book was exactly what I needed. You can definitely read the whole book. You can also, I read it in an hour sitting by a creek while the kids were making a huge mess on this trip, and I felt lighter. So definitely check it out. How to Keep House While Drowning by Casey Davis. If you don't want to read the book, just go check out her TikToks. They're lovely. You'll feel seen.
We should have her on the show.
I'm very interested.
Yeah.
The idea of everything actually having a place, even if it's not in that place, there's so much stuff in my house that I just don't know where it should be.
Yep.
I just think it's all this really practical advice coming from a really loving place, but also for someone, for me giving advice in the future, I feel like I read a bunch of stuff and thought like, oh, this advice that I gave thinking that that was helpful may have actually not been helpful to someone.
Love that.
Great. Thank you for that. How about you, Jamila?
I am recommending a movie called Honk for Jesus, Save Your Soul. It's streaming on Peacock, and I think it's in theaters too. It stars Sterling K. Brown and Regina Hall. It is a comedy. It's a somewhat morose comedy, you know, like it's about the pastor and first lady of a mega church in Atlanta. They've got 26,000 members. They're wealthy. He's got a closet full of Prada suits in every color. And he is disgraced by a sex scandal, which you don't know too much about it until later in the film. And most of the flock leaves. And so he is he and his wife are plotting for their big comeback on Easter Sunday. They're going to reopen the doors to the church and hopefully welcome in a lot of their former members. And many of the members have already transitioned to a new church that's owned by a young, cool, hipper couple that's somewhat reminiscent of them, you know, some time in the past. And it is a really biting commentary about not just the Black church, but prosperity churches and mega churches, you know, the pastors that wear $4,000 suits, mm-hmm. you know, and expect a lot of tithing and giving to be done by their members, regardless of what their income is. It is just really smart. It's really funny. And I really enjoyed it. It wasn't what I was expecting at all. Not a kid's movie. Well, unless it's your kid, because I let not even watch it. But, you know, it's not a little kid's movie. If you've got a kid who's an old soul, she kind of tuned out on a few parts of it. So I don't know how much she actually took from it, but it is really something and it's going to stick with me for quite a while.
Cool.
So check it out. And that is it for our show. We'll be back in your feeds on Thursday. So be sure to tune in. And while you're at it, please subscribe to the show. Give us a rating on Apple or Spotify. We'd love it. This episode of Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Rosemary Belson and Christy Taiwo Mackinjula. For Elizabeth Newcamp and Zach Rosen, I am Jamila Lemieux. Thank you for listening.